We finished Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and chapter 10 is going to get some more detail of examples of such. But just to remind you, as we stop here for a moment, to remember that Solomon, again reminded, Solomon is given wisdom as none other. And Solomon is used by God to produce Ecclesiastes. And God allows Solomon to stumble, fall, in the light of his human wisdom, perfect human wisdom, if you would. And he allows him to do all of these things. And thus, as we read through Ecclesiastes, that which is done under the sun, humans at their very best, trying their very best, having the very best material, he did, materials, people, pleasures, animals, vegetables, minerals. He had everything. He had a great zoo. Wow. And all of it is of no value. It isn't good enough. So we've got to go beyond that. And if we're trying to just do it in our own wisdom, in our own ways, it will never win. And Solomon, who is way ahead of all humans when it comes to wisdom, said, listen, it won't work. It won't work. So all we who are lesser, apart from God, apart from a human, apart from God, we aren't going to match Solomon at all. Thus, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, just to remind you, as we did, God said that we don't want to be caught as a fish, verse 12. Fishes are taken in an evil net and birds are caught in the snare. It's easy, so easy to get ensnared. And remember the end of verse 11, the issue, time and chance happeneth to them all. And we shared those words and the meaning. That everything you do and everything you plan, there's always the things you didn't figure on. There's always that which you didn't understand. There's always that which will happen that you did not participate, just like a bird going into a trap or a fish into a net. You didn't, just there. They're just there. Now, and all the wisdom in the world, all the planning in the world, make them go away. Thus, as you come to the end of verse 12, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. And then we share together, he gives illustrations of wisdom on the plus side. And we share together that in verse 14, a little city and a few men, a little city, a little village, walled up village, and a few men in it. And here's a great king coming with his army. He besieges it. He surrounds it. He builds up moats to go against the wall, to go over the wall. And in the process of that, verse 15, now there was found in it, the city, a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. And so when you're all done, wisdom is a wonderful thing, but who remembers the poor wise man that told them how to win the battle? They don't remember. Only the result, that's all. Only the result. Verse 16, then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So when you're all done with everything and you're trying to say, well, there should be some recognition, some appreciation, it just isn't going to be there. Not normally. It just isn't there. No one paid attention to it. So when you come to verse 17, as we share together, the words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. And we share together that the wise man can speak very confidently and assuredly and quietly. And he, you know, the Lord Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. Well, if you have an ear to hear, you're listening. You're listening to you want to get to what to do and how to do it. And you have a heart to listen, to learn, to be wise, to be wise. Now, having said that, but a ruler, a king, a general of an army can yell and in great distress and anguish, the problem's there, and he's talking to fools. And it doesn't do any good. Doesn't do any good to talk to fools. They don't listen. They don't understand. So, verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And we shared together as we did that, that in the process, the best weapon in fighting is wisdom. Wisdom. But such wisdom is always the best instrument to know what to do, to know how to do it. There's no question about that. But one sinner, one person who is missing the mark, failing to hit the target, erring, making a mistake, failing, coming short, one person can ruin the whole thing. You can build your blocks, if you might want to use that illustration, build the blocks up like a little tower if you were building, playing in your kitchen table. I can just see you doing it. It was fun when you did it, though, wasn't it? To put all the blocks together and go out. And you do it, and you see these, remember those little things you pull out? Is there things you build up, and then you pull out something? You see how many? All right. Well, everything, it's good. But then one mistake, pulling out the wrong thing, putting it in the wrong place, and all of it falls down. You'd been so much time building it up. And one mistake. You ever do dominoes? Line them up. I don't know about how to play them, but if you line them up, you know, and you have big lines, and then you build it all up with great carefulness, and then you hit the end, and it goes all over the place, you know, and it's falling down in its sequence. But you know, if you're doing that and you happen to hit one in the halfway point, they all go down. One thing can ruin much good. One thing. One sinner, one goofing it up can lose it. Now, thus, having said that, and keeping in mind, verse 11 again, the middle of the verse, remember all these things do not guarantee. If you're the best runner, it doesn't mean you win. If you're the best fighter, the best army, it doesn't mean you win. Middle of the verse 11, bread to the wise, bread, material, living, handling life, material things. Bread to the wise, you can be very, very wise, and it doesn't guarantee that everything is going to come out. Doesn't guarantee that. Doesn't guarantee it at all. Therefore, wisdom, human wisdom, with all of its pluses and minuses, is only human, and it falls short. Thus, just to remind ourselves, what are we, Solomon, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get us to pay attention to God. When you're all done, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And in chapter 12, coming to the very end, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When you're all done, Solomon, what did you try to tell us? Fear God, keep his commandments, for reason, this is the whole duty of man, to fear God and honor him. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to put it all together. So when you're all done, we've got to look to God. Over, if you would, then, to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, and let us just remind ourselves what we are to be understanding in the light of all of these bits of information about wisdom and its good and its bad and its failure. Proverbs chapter 9, looking at it, God said, I want you to pay attention to Solomon, Ecclesiastes, so you'll now pay better attention to what I'm going to say. You'll pay better attention to what I'm going to tell you. Proverbs 9, picking up in verse 10. We're going to take our word and let it just talk to us, wisdom. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be what? Yet wiser. Remember, the wise man speaks, and he that hath an ear to hear will listen and learn and be the better. If you don't listen and you don't learn, you didn't get anything. You missed the whole point. Thus, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So we want to be in the place to develop, to learn, to understand. Now going backwards in Proverbs, chapter 8, remember wisdom, chapter 8, it's all about wisdom personified, wisdom, God's wisdom, and then showing it as a entity that you could handle. Proverbs 8, picking up please in verse 10. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom is better than rubies, no question. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate, speech do I hate. Now, so looking at that, we understand wisdom, we want to get wiser, we want to be wise, so we want to learn well. We don't want to be stupid about things, we want to learn. God honors it, no question. Thus, chapter 8, we shared in verse 10, verse 11, wisdom is better than all the wealth and all the things of all the world. Not only Proverbs 9, wisdom is the best fighting weapon. Wisdom is the most wealthiest thing you could have. If you could have anything, $1 million, you could be a million, what's a million anymore? $1 billion, $1 billion, $1 trillion. Aren't we 12 trillion now? 12? Is it 12? We've reached 12 trillion. What's $12 trillion? You know. What's that? So, in the process of all of that, God, here we are looking, and if we had everything, you can't replace wisdom. Wisdom would be a good, healthy way to understand everything. Without it, we'd get caught up in everything, everything and everyone, and we wouldn't have wisdom. We need to have wisdom so we don't lose it. Now, thus, going backwards, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and picking up again. Chapter 4, wisdom is the principal, chief, the head. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. So a great, great push, great emphasis, a great movement. I want to understand. I don't want to be content with what I know. I want to be understanding. I want everything to be tested and understood better, more and more. Thus, wisdom is the principal thing. It's the chief thing. Thus, if you would, chapter 3, and in verse 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So, wisdom is better, best fighting weapon. Wisdom is the best thing of all the things you could value, all the things you could ever have, is understanding. And happy is the person that has it. Thus, chapter 2, picking up, please, in, I'll read verse 1 just to connect it. Proverbs 2:1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, wisdom, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, always together. If thou seekest her as silver, and searcheth for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So wisdom is going to bring us to God. What did Solomon say when he was all done in chapter 12? Fear God, it's the whole duty of man. When you're all done, a healthy, holy, happy understanding of God. That's it. Wow. Written about anything else? Just about you, God. Just about you. How many libraries do you think are going to be in heaven? Do you go to the library? How often would you go to the library? How often will you go to the bookstore? How many books will you read to get educated? You just have God, a wonderful forever in the presence of God, period. That's it. That's your education. The Lord Jesus said it in Matthew 11, get your learning from me. Get your ABCs on the beginning and end. You see, and you learn to be wonderfully content with God. And don't get caught up in people, persons, places, things. You lose out job, homework, family. You'll kill yourself in doing it. No. That's why the Lord said, I didn't come to send peace, but a what? A sword. I didn't come to send peace to anything. I didn't want you to have something here. I want you to have something with me. And the more you have it this way, horizontally, the less you'll have it this way. The more you have it this way, the better you'll have it this way, horizontally. You try to make this way, you'll lose this way. Keep this way, and you'll have this way. Thus, horizontal, vertical. Thus, if you would, picking up, please, in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Thus, in chapter 1, going backwards, chapter 1, verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Because wisdom isn't going to get you a PhD. God's wisdom is going to get you God, the person of God, not a PhD, not a pulpit something, not an academic credential. Thus, and that's what you're looking for. God help us. So God's wisdom is the intelligence of God, displayed in the very highest and choicest ends that he has in mind, by the very fittest, the bestest of all means to accomplish his will and his way for his honor and his glory. The wonderful wisdom of God, every purpose of God, having as its every purpose of God having the advantage of infinity, time, eternity, endlessness. God has all of time lost in the middle of eternity, endless infinity. God has all of that to work with. How much do you have to work with? You're so old. How old you are, and then you take your years old, and then take the years that you've learned, you're learning, and then take it to God. And God says, listen, as far as I'm concerned, I want you to know I work with perfect knowledge and perfect wisdom. So I'm trying to help you understand that my ways are higher than what? Yours, and my thoughts are higher than yours. So I want you to learn to relax. And don't try to help me think. Don't try to help me think through anything. Just relax. Just relax and watch what I do. And God does in his most wonderful way, God uses his godliness, his godness, to make all his decisions. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, let us just remind ourselves. Go over with me, please, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, if you would, and chapter 9. And I'm just going to bounce off of you again a thought or two that may be helpful in exercising God's wonderful wisdom, looking to God, listening to God, learning of God. Chapter 9, you know, Jeremiah chapter 9, picking up in verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But, in contrast to all of that, in competition, God says, don't be in competition, don't make it in competition. I want you to understand, let him, verse 24, that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want you to know who I am. I want you to know that I do what I do, and what I do is very wisely done and wonderfully done. Thus, Jeremiah 17, while you're here, to that, reminding us we want to look to God. We don't want to glory in our self-effort, so we're going to tie that together with chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, humans, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed, not blessed, curses the person that does that. And there be like a tumbleweed, you know, having no connection, no life, deadness, dryness, rolling from one place to another. Thus, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So we're going to trust God and look to God. And we understand we don't want to be like that. We want to be like a tree planted by the water. Verse 8, looking to God, resting in God, trusting in God. The tree just rests, and roots rest in the wonderful eternal person of God, the eternal work of God, and God does what he does. And he takes care of it. He just does it, wonderfully so. Thus, go over if you would to James chapter 3. So we want to understand our own heart, so we aren't going to trust it. Don't want to trust your own heart. Your own heart will lie to you. It doesn't. You say, my heart wouldn't lie to me. Oh, yes, it would. Yes, it would. Yes, it would, because your heart is deceitful. And in fact, that's part of deceit, isn't it? To think your heart wouldn't lie to you. That's being deceived, isn't it? My heart wouldn't lie to me. Ah, you're illustrating deception. You're illustrating it. Deceived. You're deceived. You're trusting your heart. Thus, James, chapter 3, and picking up, if I can, in verse 15, this wisdom, I'll read verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and be not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. Think of Proverbs that we read, chapter 9, etc., and verse 17. Pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Looking to God, we're going to get it from ourselves, and we don't want to look around, comparing ourselves with ourselves. By people, persons, places, things, because we'll come up with the wrong answer. We need to look to God. And so we aren't going to trust in ourselves. That's the beginning. That's being the first thing of being wise. You're wise enough to not trust in yourself. You're wise enough to understand, cursed be the person that trusteth in himself, or anything human that has breath, Isaiah chapter 2. So we don't want to do that. So wisdom is being practiced, going to put wisdom to work. And we want to put wisdom to work with understanding that we're limited. And again, if I may just remind you, over to Job, just in case you might have forgot. Job chapter 1, picking up the thought, please, in verse 21. You want to understand wisdom. We don't want to trust in ourselves. And so that's the first thing we're going to know to learn to be wise. We don't trust in ourselves. Secondly, we understand that what we understand is limited. And thus, here is Job going through awesome movement like none other in history, apart from our Lord. Verse 21. And said, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job, do you understand? No, not at this point. All I just know, I lost all my sons and daughters, and I lost my health, and I lost, lose my health. And I lost all my servants and my animals, and I lost my friends. I mean, I all lost. But I'm not going to say anything because, God, I don't have all the pieces. I just don't have all the pieces. Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. Job speaking, verse 7. 12 and 7. But ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, they shall tell thee. We just read birds caught in the net trap and fish in the nets, vice versa. Verse 8, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes, the sea, shall declare unto you. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? God, we're looking at the world around us. We're learning from it. God, there's so much going on. You have so much going on. You've created so much. So much is happening every single millisecond, microsecond. Wow. And here's everything going on all over the place. The dust, the germs, the life, all over in the room. If we could ever know it, we wouldn't have enough lifetime to discover it, would we? We wouldn't have enough lifetime to learn all of the life forms that are happening right now, all over. We couldn't even begin. We couldn't even begin. It's overwhelming. Wow. All of this is going on. Uh-huh. God, what do we know? We learn, God, there's so much going on. You have done so much, and you're doing so much. So, picking up our thought, chapter 12, if I may. Verse 9, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Verse 10, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words and the mouth taste his meat, his food? With the ancient, the old is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. We go right past Solomon and we head right into God. God, you've got the answers. You're the one we're to trust with all our heart and all of life and all of the world in which we live. If we're wise enough, gets us to you, God. Gets us to you when we're all done. Thus, God, you have all the pieces, every piece, zillions of pieces that we don't even have. And you put them all together in a most wonderful way. So we're going to trust you, and thus you have, as you know, in Romans 8, all things what? Work together for good, to them that are loving God and are looking for God's purpose in their life. They're going to know. They're going to know everything is going to work for good. And they're going to know that. Job, do you know that? Job says, I know that. I will not charge God foolishly. God doesn't make mistakes, and God is always good. He's never other than good, never can be other than good. And God has purchased us my Redeemer liveth, he said. I'm trusting him. And here we are, we're bought with a price. Our body is his body. And our body is his body for his glory and honor. So we're looking to God to honor himself. He gave us a body, and we're going to trust him in the midst of all of it and in spite of all of it. Now, having said that, would you go over with me, please, in your Bible, just go back now. And we want to go, and we want, wisdom is meant to require, if you understand and you're wise, you're going to develop and exercise a healthy relationship to God. First Corinthians, if you would. First Corinthians in chapter 1. And in First Corinthians chapter 1, keeping in mind verse 24, but unto them which, well, let me do it a little differently. Let me go a different directions. Go with me to chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So it isn't a human analysis, a human rationale. No, it's from a biblical viewpoint. God, what did you have in mind? You're after the heart to trust thee. You're after the heart to not be trusting in itself. Cursed be the person that trusts in itself, in themselves. We don't want to do that. The heart is deceitful. We don't want to do that. Thus, verse, skipping over to verse 20, all the way down, of course, through it. You're going to keep seeing it. I'll just read it. You'll catch it. For the preaching of the cross is to them perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. They, you know, Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. Fools, you dummies, you missed the whole point. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the person who is a disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God was going to save whoever would believe, whoever was smart enough to believe that God was wise enough to do what he did, and that all our wisdom and all the wisdom of the world will get us nowhere. A great message, that's a book of Ecclesiastes. We need to believe God. Verse 22, for Jews required a sign, the Greeks want wisdom. They want to have intellectual understanding. Well, you don't have intellectual understanding till you come to know the Lord as your Savior. There's no way to do it. You couldn't possibly do it. You have to understand that God, in his wonderful grace and mercy, has made it possible for you to understand the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you and for me. He died, he took our place, he was because of me, we took him there. He died because of me, because of you. And so we're looking to God, we're wise enough to do that. And God helps us understand. We don't want to be like the Greeks or the Gentiles. Verse 23, for we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks or Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. Wow. The Lord Jesus is. Skipping over, if I can, to chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Why could you come with just a nice wisdom, a worldly kind of thing, you know? So that we can understand, and we can relate, and we can debate, and we can dialogue, and we can do everything. Well, because that is of no avail. What you'd want to do is know what God said, and God means what he said, and you rest in what God said, and you relax with what God said. Because there's no sense in debating him. There's no sense in arguing with him. Because when you're all done and you read it tomorrow, it's going to say what? And it's going to say the same thing. And if you read it next week, after you read and hear and see all the different arguments, when you read it again next week, what is it? It's the same thing. Same thing. Doesn't change. So we don't, we got to get to God, and we can't, we've got to believe and rest in God, and that's who we present. Thus, verse 2 becomes obvious. For I determined not to know how much? Anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that was the message. That's your message, isn't it? Isn't that what you want? What do you preach to people? What do you say? What are you after in your life to satisfy your life, to make you happy, to feel good, you see? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And I want you to know, if you're going to feel good, then I'm going to have to tell you, you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And I want you to know, anything other than, apart from Jesus Christ, who is God, anything that is godless, ungodly, is unprofitable. So I'm going to give you that message. So your work, your home, your job, your friends, your family, your enemies, your wealth, your poverty, whatever, is of no value apart from God. But with God, all things work together for good to them that love God. And God does a wonderful thing, because God isn't, we're looking to God. God does things very wonderfully and wisely. He never does anything wrong. He never makes a mistake, ever. Never late, never early. Always on time. Always at the right time. God does what he does in a most wonderful way. Thus, in chapter 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. And you keep repeating it. It isn't. Well, why shouldn't it be? Because it won't do any good. You just want to know what God said. That's what you want to know. Not a lot of chit-chat. What's that going to do for you? Nothing. A whole lot of chit-chat, you either like it or don't like it. This way here, you either like it or you're in trouble. Because it's what it says, you see. Boom, it's what he said. Now you're stuck, aren't you? See, because we didn't ask you what you thought about it. It doesn't matter what you think about it. It's what it says. And we communicate, hopefully, straightway, what does it say? See, we don't want, it isn't taught to be talked about, except to be believed and trusted in, and God help us to understand. Thus, in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's how you're going to be saved, in the wonderful person and work of God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among you that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that are come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even to the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have never done such things, but they did. Verse 13, which things, God's word, God gives us, which we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Isn't that what you want? You want that. I want that. I hope you do. You're looking for the Spirit of God to speak to your heart. You're looking for the Spirit of God to take his word and lock it into your heart. That's what you're looking for, you know. All the rest of us sort of shrivel down into nothing. Nothing. And then there's God's word and God, and we're looking to you, and they're interacting for God to do a work in our heart based on his word. Thus, verse 13, for which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we use the word of God to understand and to learn and to grow and to know. Thus, if you would, Colossians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1 and 29. Looking to the wisdom of God, we don't want to get hung up in human wisdom in the wrong way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. No, nothing of us, but all of God. But of him are ye in Christ, Christ Jesus, who of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So the wisdom, that we need is in a person, and the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the wise one. And thus, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says to the churches. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect solution. Colossians chapter 2. And picking up in thought again, Colossians 2. And may I go over to verse 3. In whom, remember the last word in verse 2, and the Father and of Christ, in whom hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ carries it all. He is the perfect God. Proverbs chapter 8, he is wisdom. Seek wisdom with all your heart. More than silver and gold and rubies and diamonds, looking to God to do a wonderful work in the head and the heart. Thus, Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Because in and by our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have Colossians 2, for in him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, all the wonderful fullness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What do you know? Wisdom is the perfect movement of God, God's wisdom, having infinity to work with, having timelessness, all the pieces of forever, all at once. God, we're looking to you in the person of Jesus Christ, who hopefully we received as our Lord and Savior. And you brought into our heart all of the fullness of your wisdom. Therefore, can you see how easy it is that all things work together for good? Can you see how easy it is? Because in him, in you, is all the wisdom of God forever. Isn't that neat? And you rest in that. That's why you trust in that. Wow. Thus, and by the way, you want to catch in verse 10, and you are complete, filled full in him, which is the head of all principality and powers, and the word complete and the word fullness, you know, tie together. And thus we have all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the person of Jesus Christ, and we're trusting. Thus in Colossians chapter 3, picking up, if I may, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, the word of God. We're resting on it. We aren't interested in anything else. No. I don't even belong up here if I'm not going to tell you that, unless it's just going to be a religious service. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wow, and a wonderful looking to God that we have his word, we have the Spirit of God to make it work. We have the Lord Jesus Christ who has all of the pieces and all at once, all together in the middle of the believing heart. That's a wonder of wonders. Thus we pray, Colossians 1. We pray, as you know, we did it. Colossians 1. And picking up, please, Colossians 1 and in verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. For what is our prayer request? To desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in what? In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, how can that possibly be true? Because the Spirit of God is in the believing heart, and the Spirit of God in the person of Jesus Christ brings us all the fullness of God, the whole mind of God, the whole wisdom of God, the whole knowledge of God, the whole understanding of God. God who has everything all at once, all the pieces in every way, shape, or form. He has all of yesterday and all of tomorrow all at once together. While we're looking to God, trusting in God, that's right. And in doing so, and we're going to rest in a great God, and that we're going to know and pray for God's wonderful working. We know that all things work together for good because of that. That's what we know. We don't know it in ourselves, but God does. And when God says, I'm going to make it come out as I want to, then that's all we want. That's all we ask for. That's all we can ask for. We don't want. Thus, Ephesians 5, in closing, Ephesians 5. Hope you got a little bit, just to remind you, wisdom. Wisdom's going to get us to God. Ephesians chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, most accurately, not as fools, but as wise. How does this wisdom show up? Redeeming the time, buying up the opportunities, being in the marketplace and understanding, I want to learn, like Job said, I want to learn from the animals, the birds, the grass, the seed, the ocean, the bugs. I want to learn. I want to learn, God. I want to be conscious of the marvelous world in which is full of life. And here I am, looking to you, God. I want to learn from it all. I want to understand it all. Thus redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We want the will of God for his glory, for his honor, for the very bestest that he has. We're looking to God. So trusting God, God has purchased us. He bought us for him to be who he is in the human heart. So we're counting on God, and God help us to understand. Solomon, thank you very much. You went through awful, awful years in doing what you did, Solomon. You lost a lot of joy. You didn't have joy. You should have had joy. And remember, we shared together the Song of Solomon is written, Song of Solomon, the great love story, love. And Solomon, it's the love he never had. He had 1,000 women. It's the love he never had. Never had it. Wow. God had it, though. God had it for him, you see. Anyway, trust you got a little bit. Thank you.